Hi, everybody. This is Marlene with Miami Ghost Chronicles, Stories of the Supernatural. And I hope you enjoy this new show, whether you're viewing it on the internet or listening to a podcast version of the episode. I do want to thank you for being part of my audience. You can also find links to videos or podcasts on MiamiGhostChronicles.com, as well as where you can submit your story about any eerie experiences you've had, which I would love to hear about. Just go to the Submit Your Story tab. Please subscribe to our channel so that you receive notification of when we release a new show. And find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This is where I usually live stream and where I give you a behind-the-scenes look at locations where new episodes are being filmed at. I also tell you about all the interesting guests that will be appearing soon on Stories of the Supernatural. I hope you enjoy the show, and I think you are all wonderful. Hi, everybody. It's Marlene with Miami Ghost Chronicles, Stories of the Supernatural. How is everybody doing today? Good. I'm having a good day, super good day here in South Florida, which is where I'm at. Even though we're in September, I see that for people living in other parts of the country, they're starting to feel the fall a little bit. And, you know, I always talk about the weather in Florida because it's always hot here. And about the only thing I worry about is that we're still in hurricane season because even though you're not going to see this right now, Hurricane Florence just went into the Carolinas. And believe me, last year we got Irma. So believe me, everybody here in Florida always had their fingers crossed like, please, no more hurricanes. Even though I hate to see them, but it's like, go anywhere else but God. Yeah, that's what you worry about when you live in Florida. But anyway, let me tell you about the guest that I have tonight. Very excited. I have a gentleman by the name of Barry Strom. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Barry. He currently resides in Utah with his Connie, his wife of 51 years. He's an author. He graduated from Lehigh University with a business management degree and also has a civil engineering license. He is also the owner of Golden Lane Antique Gallery in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, one of the most haunted structures in the country. And what started as a casual interest in paranormal photography became an obsession as he was led along the path of learning about the afterlife and the presence of aliens among us. The gift of spirit communication allows him to contact spirits of deceased aliens and obtain actual information that has never before appeared in print. And of course, he's assisted in all his sessions by his wife, Connie, and has several books. And we'll discuss that as we get into the interview. But of course, you know that the first thing I'm going to ask Barry is, did you have experiences as a kid, Barry? And now I want you to deliver that line of what you told me before we were recording.
None whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
And I thought everybody that was seeing ghosts was crazy.
Okay. I love that answer, by the way. I really do. I really, really do. Because people don't understand that we were talking about that it's, you know, lately, yeah, because of all these paranormal shows and everything, people are immediately quick to jump on the, it's the ghost or whatever. And, you know, before people were kind of slower to get there than they are now. Because even back then, I want to say, there was even a little bit of a stigma if somebody was running around going, hey, I've got a ghost in my house or whatever. So from what you're saying, you were one of these that, if anybody, you would have been one of those that I said, oh my God, that wacko, he's running around saying that they saw a ghost.
Hey, worse than that, I made fun of them, picked on them.
Oh, that's it.
No, I was what's known as a total absolute skeptic.
Okay. So you obviously you have, like, when we were talking about that, you it sounds like you were involved for the major part of your life in the hard sciences, in facts, in proof. In other words, if I can't measure it, touch it, feel it, you know, whatever the case might be, it was like, okay, let's not, doesn't exist. So we're going to then fast forward, you know, wherever you want to, whatever point you either were introduced into it, even before you had the hard proof, or what brought you to that point?
Okay, well, in the beginning, I mean, as I say, I worked in heavy construction all my life, road construction, aggregate industry. I was the CEO of a stone company, aggregate company, 400-man company for about 5 years. Absolutely had no understanding or belief in ghosts. And we owned a stone quarry up here in Pennsylvania. And we were running our trucking company from a building across the street here in town in New Oxford. And this big old warehouse was sitting here. And a partner that I had said, well, let's buy the warehouse and convert it into an antique gallery. Which we did in 1989. We bought it, converted it to an antique gallery. And my one condition was we'll do the deal as long as I don't have to spend any time there, because I don't know a damn thing about antiques and don't want to learn, because I was doing so much other stuff at the time. So anyway, about 5 years later, I wind up having to buy him out. So now I own the whole thing by myself. And in those days, we had a whole staff and everybody, they ran it and I did my thing. And they would tell me about all this stuff that was taking place here in the building. Doors would close, lights would be turned off. You'd hear people walking upstairs after it was locked up. And my comment was, you're either drinking something too strong or smoking. It's one of those two things. So,
Right. You've got a
and
real
I
good
wasn't,
imagination.
yeah, I wasn't spending much time there. So about 15 years ago, when the economy started to change, I started coming back and spending more time at the store. And I'm hearing these stories, and I think, maybe there is a little something here, but I still think they're all crazy. So I had two people working for me. So they asked me if they could come in and do a little bit of investigation. I should knock yourself out. So these two women that work for me, they have a tape recorder in their pocket, and they're in the store, and I can hear them walk. They're running the recorder. And I can hear them walking up the stairs, and they have an EMF meter in their hands, the K2. And on the rec I didn't have any idea what a damn K2 meter was. So anyway, they get to the top of the stairs on the second floor, and all of a sudden you can hear on their recorder the K2 go off. And they open the door and they look in, and one of them says, "Oh my God, there she is. She's looking at us and she's smiling at us." And then they had a camera, and the one woman says, "May I take your picture?" And on the recorder, you can hear a very, very low yes. And then the spirit moves towards them, and you can hear them scream, run down the steps and out of the building as fast as they can go. So anyway, they play this recording for me, and I know these two women, and they're incapable of, this something happened. So I had a friend that had a paranormal group. So I said, "How would you like to come in and do an investigation? No one's ever been in the store, So he brings about 20 people in. And we break up into groups of five, and we have a psychic with us. It was very good. So it's my wife, the psychic, and two other people. And we go into the far corner of the store. And I have all the lights out. It's all pitch dark, and we're sitting there. And I have a K2 meter in my hand that they borrowed and gave to me. That's the only piece of equipment at this point I knew about. So the psychic says, "I'm hearing a young girl, and her name is Clarissa, and she wants to show us her pink doll." So I'm going, yeah, right. So I got the K2. So I said, "Okay, Clarissa, if you're really here, come close and let the meter go." And the meter just takes off in my hand and pegs. I'm going, whoa.
That was pretty coincidental.
Another coincidence. So I'd watched a couple shows, ghost shows. So I said, "Okay, Clarissa, can you make this thing blink once for yes and twice for no?" And it blinks once. I'm saying, "Okay, this is, we're starting to get out there now." So I said, "Okay, Clarissa, how would you like to show me your pink doll?" Because that's what the medium said she wanted to do. And it blinks once for yes. So We start across the store in the dark. We come to the first aisle. I said, okay, Clarissa, you want me to turn down this aisle? And it blinks twice for no. Come to the next aisle. It's okay, you want to turn here? Blinks twice for no. Come to the third aisle. I said, okay, how about here? It blinks once.
Okay.
So we turn down the aisle. We go maybe 10, 15 feet. And the psychic loses contact. I lose contact and she's gone. So I'm thinking, man, that was some really weird stuff, you know?
Uh-huh.
So anyway, we go back. About a half an hour later, we're taking the first break. So I had to go and turn the lights on so everybody didn't kill themselves in the place. So I turn the lights on, and I'm coming down that same aisle from the opposite direction, and I come to the area where we lost track with her.
Okay.
And I look up, and in the case is a pink doll.
Oh.
She led us 150 feet and three commands to her pink doll.
Wow.
I'm thinking, this ain't no coincidence. And I had no idea this doll was in the case at that time.
Okay.
So anyway, I bought the doll from the dealer, and we still have it here. And Clarissa's still with us here in the store, and she still plays with the doll. And if I take the doll down, she'll interact with the people that are holding it. So
was she what, attached to that doll then? Is that how it ended up?
She plays the neighborhood, but that's okay. Still her doll. It's not a firm. She moves around in the store. We've had other psychics talk to her and see her, and she'll communicate with us on the ghost box at times. So
and nobody's. Have you ever been able to verify her identity? Or I mean, I know sometimes, especially if it was a little bit, you know, a few years back, you know, they didn't.
Not only did we identify her, we found her grave in the graveyard across the street.
Oh wow! What happened?
And we went into the archive newspapers.
Okay.
And apparently, she was 8 years old, and she was visiting. She lived up in the Scranton area in Pennsylvania. And she came down here to New Oxford and was visiting people.
Okay.
And they were cleaning chickens, and she fell into the scalding water, and it killed her.
Oh, my God. That's so horrible. Oh.
And so she and two other children from the neighborhood still play the neighborhood here.
Wow.
And we commune. But that was my first really hardcore. And in that same investigation.
Uh-huh.
One of the members that were there took a picture in the mirror.
Okay.
And they got a picture of one of the best full-bodied apparitions I have ever seen in my life. It looks like a woman standing in that mirror. You can see her hair in a bun, her eyes, everything. It's an amazing picture. One of the best pictures I've ever seen.
Do you think, is it, because I know you mentioned that the location of the store is, do you think that you have so many entities there because of they come with the things that are there, or is there a reason why they end up there, or they attracted because?
Oh, there's a good reason why they're here. We have a portal downstairs in the basement. But we also have, we got all kinds of ghosts here. Since we've learned to communicate with them, we have eight people here that worked when it was a shoe factory. The building dates back to 1877.
Wow. Okay.
So we've got eight people here that worked here when it was a shoe factory that we've talked to.
Okay.
And when I do radio shows, they'll come in and they'll stand in the room and watch me do the radio show.
And you know what? I tell, you know, because everybody sometimes thinks that ghosts are, it's just people going back maybe to where they died or they lived. And I said, you know, for a lot of people, what they do for a living means a lot to them. As far as that's where they want to be at.
No, we ask them, we said, why are you here? Why haven't you moved ahead? And the answer was, when we worked here, we were like a big family.
Right.
And we just like to come back and be together with everybody. So right. They come and go, but they come back and they do this.
So, right. Yeah, but a lot of people, you know, everybody always equates the job with it. And I go, you know what? Not everybody had a bad experience of work. Sometimes they had almost like what you described, like a second family. Especially when back then that people worked for years and years in the same place with the same people. And you developed a very close bond with your coworkers.
Yeah. And no, it's amazing when we're doing each show. Like I've got two in here right now.
Really?
Yeah. Now I never realized that I had psychic abilities,
Okay, and
obviously,
that's where I
until
was gonna go. So here you are, you have this experience with a little girl and the doll. So I'm thinking that you at this point in your analytical mind were like what you said, you're thinking, okay, what is up here? What was the next event that propelled you down that experience?
I've always had an interest in photography,
Okay.
and I enjoyed doing. We did professional photography for a couple of years. So we were only 8 miles from the Gettysburg battlefield.
Okay.
So I started going out onto the battlefield and taking photographs, and I got just absolutely amazing pictures out there. I have pictures of soldiers. I have a
Wow.
picture of a horse, a ghost horse, you know, just. So I started getting all these really crazy pictures, and the people, some of my friends said, you know, those pictures are so good, you ought to write a book. And I'm also a history nut.
Okay.
So I wrote my first book. It was called Haunting and History of the Battle of Gettysburg. And I published 220 ghost pictures in it that I took myself out there.
Okay, wow.
And it was over a period of 3 years.
Okay.
But all the time that we're doing this, I'm starting to get more accustomed to the that I do might have some abilities, and that we're getting,
Okay.
you know, we're doing. I'm taking ghost boxes out, for instance, on the battlefield, and we're
Okay.
talking to soldiers, and we're doing stuff like that.
Okay.
Well, about 2 years into my experiences, we get introduced to some people out in Salt Lake City. My home's in Park City, Utah.
Okay.
And we find out that our friends, that their family has been doing board channeling for 40 years,
Wow.
and that the mother is actually a very famous psychic.
Okay.
And so one time while we're out there, they invite me to go to a board channeling session, and I had absolutely no idea what I was getting into. So I walk into the room, and they have this special board, and it's circular. It's got the letters and numbers in a circle on the outside, and has glass on it. And instead of a planchette, they're using a shot glass.
Okay.
And they put lemon oil on it, and they would sit on both sides, and they'd each put their fingers on this shot glass, and this damn glass would fly around.
Wow.
So anyway, I sit down, and then, you know, they start the session, and the message comes in, "Hello, Barry, we've been waiting for you." I went,
Yeah,
"Uh-oh."
that's like,
It's going to get wild from here.
yeah.
And they proceed to tell me all the stuff that's going on back in Pennsylvania. Things absolutely nobody has any ideas going on. They're telling me the names of the spirits that I'm talking to in the store.
Wow.
They start to tell me some of my prior life history so that I can understand what's going on.
Okay.
And I mean, I'm blown away by what, you know, and the stuff that. These people are in Salt Lake, 2,000 miles from the events that were taking place, and telling me in detail what I was seeing and talking to back here. So, long story short, I asked them if they would mind teaching me how to do board channeling.
Okay.
And they start to let me do it and to teach me, and my wife and I start doing it together. And in the beginning, I would be in Pennsylvania here at the store. And they would be on Skype in Salt Lake City with the board.
Okay.
I would ask the questions from 2,000 miles away.
Wow.
They would answer the questions for me.
Wow.
Yeah, there ain't no way I'm playing with the board. You know,
Yeah.
this is undeniable proof of what's taking place. So, working with them out in Salt Lake, and a little bit of stuff we're doing ourselves. I wrote my first book, which was called Afterlife, What Really Happens on the Other Side.
Okay.
And that book told us, I would ask them what it was really like over there, and they would give me all the details. And I started working with a psychic here in Pennsylvania, and we started doing our own board sessions. So we
Okay.
started using our own information that we were gathering. For instance, in a couple sessions, we had Ulysses Grant come in.
Wow.
And we did a chapter on him in the Afterlife book. And it's just, they told us about, you know, the realms of heaven, what it was like. Spirits that were earthbound were telling us why they stayed here,
Okay.
happens when they move on, how they progress. And they really started to tell me about reincarnation.
Okay.
which is something I hadn't really thought a whole lot about. And anyway, we write the second book. Well, as we start to progress in the channeling, the board channeling we're doing here in Pennsylvania, I started asking a whole bunch of questions about things. So I
Okay.
started asking about aliens. I
Okay.
said, it started out one night, the guides are in, and I said, "Do aliens exist?" The answer comes back, "Of course."
You're
Like,
like, oh yeah.
cool. Everybody knows
It's
that.
like, okay.
So I start to ask some questions. So one night the guide says, "You have a lot of questions on this subject, so I'm going to introduce you to a guide that can answer all of your questions because he is one." And
Oh.
I said, "Is one what?" He said, he was an alien in his past life." I said, "Well, how is this possible that I'm going to be talking to an alien spirit?" And the guides come back and they say, "Because aliens and humans have the same soul energy."
Wow.
Which is a little hard to comprehend, and I'm sure everybody's
Sure.
hair's on fire right now over this
Well,
one.
you know what? The thing is that we are, as humans, we're very kind of, we're the center of the universe kind of mentality.
Oh,
Like,
we are mentality, but we are so far from it.
oh, yeah, I believe it.
So anyway, they tell us that we have the same soul histories. And I want you to think about this fact. Soul energies have been eternal.
Okay.
Since the beginning, your soul energy's been out there. Humans have been on Earth for 250,000 years. So where do you think your soul energy was before humans walked the Earth?
Prior to that,
On
right.
other planets. On other planets. So as they put the whole picture together, it started to make so much sense. Because when Jesus taught of everlasting life,
Okay.
he taught of the everlasting soul energy. That was what he meant.
Right.
Not that you live one lifetime, your soul goes and it's there
That's
forever.
it.
That was not what he was teaching. That's how it was misinterpreted in the Gospels as it came forward. So anyway, we're now channeling with an alien full time. So I write my third book that was called Aliens Among Us: Exploring Past and Present.
Okay.
And my alien name was Moo,
Really?
and he gave us all this information. He was a blue alien. In life, he stood 9.5 feet. He lived on a planet called Robe, which is on the far side of our Milky Way, and he lived 942 of our lives, of our years, before he passed.
Okay.
So they had extremely long life, and it's the stuff he told me was amazing. Like, we went through the Nazca lines down in Peru.
Okay.
He told me what they stood for, the different shapes in Peru.
Now let me ask you, when you were going through this process, Barry, and it sounds like you started working with all these boards. Were you really thinking I have psychic abilities, or were you just thinking, okay, I just happen to be using an instrument that's allowing me to go there? Or did you have, in other words, did you have experiences when you were not using a board? Let's say when you were at home or you saw something.
No, not at that point.
Okay.
Not at that point. I mean, I am now. I mean, now I'm starting to see them and the whole trick.
Okay.
But at that point, no. And I was actually, re I was thinking that was the we were working with another psychic, so it would always be her and myself on the board.
Okay.
And I'm thinking that everything is coming through her.
Okay.
But actually, it was coming through both of us.
Wow.
And I but I didn't understand it at that point of the ball game. So anyway, we write this book about aliens. Then I got the idea, since we when we had channeled with Ulysses Grant in the first book, he told us a little bit about he hinted that there was a lot going on about the Lincoln assassination that we didn't know, that he knew.
Okay.
So I get the idea, well, it'd be really cool if I start to investigate some of these conspiracies.
Okay.
So we did things like we asked for the presence of Jack Kennedy. And we channeled Kennedy, and he gave us all the details of the assassination,
Wow.
told us who killed him, who the other shooters were that were involved, who was behind it. Told us absolutely everything. And he would give us these names, and then I would go in and I'd do research.
Okay.
And these names would appear on in different conspiracy theories or different, you know, as facts would come came out. For instance, he said that Lyndon Johnson was behind the assassination.
Okay.
Well, now there have been books written about the fact that he was behind.
Exactly.
He said that E. Howard Hunt was involved. When Hunt dies, he did a deathbed confession that he was involved in the assassination. This stuff's all a matter of record, but it's all things that we channeled, information. So we wind up, my next book was called Spirits Speak of Conspiracies and Mysteries.
Okay.
In that book, we tackled 27 different conspiracies.
Wow.
We did the Lincoln assassination, Butch Cassidy, just Billy the Kid.
Okay.
And it's amazing how wrong history is in most of these situations.
I believe it. I know that sometimes history is written by not everybody that's trying to expose or to write the accurate truth. It's whatever they want to put out there.
Yeah, I think the most amazing one was the story of John Wilkes Booth, because I started to channel that one with the idea of just knowing who was behind the what happened, what took place.
Okay.
Well, Secretary of War Seward, and the then Vice President Johnson hired the conspirators.
Okay.
And that was really what I was looking for. But then once I get going on this thing, it turns out that John Wilkes Booth was not killed in Virginia, like the history books say.
Okay.
Since the Secretary of War, and he planned this thing, that was the reason that one of the bridges was left open that they could even get out of D.C.
Okay.
Was at that guy's command. But they had captured a Confederate captain that resembled John Wilkes Booth.
Wow.
So they off this guy down in Virginia.
Okay.
And if you go into the archives, there are no photographs of the body of John Wilkes Booth.
Wow.
They destroyed all the photography. You know, in those days, it was a big deal to photograph dead bodies.
Yes.
Because photography was new. There's no autopsy photographs. There's no pictures of him dead in his casket. Nothing. Okay?
Hmm.
So anyway, John Wilkes Booth escapes and goes to Kentucky.
Okay.
3 years later in Kentucky, he marries a woman. And there is a birth certificate on file down there that is signed J.W. Booth 3 years after he was supposed to die.
Wow.
The son finds out that it's Booth. Booth panics, abandons him, and heads out to Texas.
Okay.
As far away as he can get. He buys a bar in this town in Texas, and there's a woman in town is going to marry a U.S. Marshal. Well, Booth is afraid that the Marshal's going to recognize him when he comes to town. So he panics, heads on further out in the frontier, works as a bartender, becomes pretty much an alcoholic.
Okay.
It's very sick. So Booth is on his deathbed. So he thinks and does a confession that he's really John Wilkes Booth. Well, the guy lives. He winds up, he doesn't die. Now he's got a real problem.
Yeah.
So as part of the story, there was an attorney in Kentucky that had realized that he had married this woman. Somehow or other, this attorney finds out about the confession. Well, Booth takes off, and he goes up to the town of Enid, Oklahoma.
Okay.
Becomes a house painter and an alcoholic, and in 1903 commits suicide.
So he lived, 30, almost. He lived a good long life, considering.
That's right. So he dies, and I went into the archives, and in the U.S. archives, I found a picture of John Wilkes Booth taken in Enid, Oklahoma.
Wow.
In his casket.
Which is under the name that he had been using while he...
Well, Yeah, he was going under the name of John St. Helens at that time.
Okay.
So anyway, this attorney in, it gets really cool now. The attorney in Kentucky finds out that Booth really has died.
Okay.
He goes to Oklahoma and purchases the body and has it mummified.
What?
Yep. Now, I also have a picture from the archives of his mummified body. So, the guy takes the mummified body and he actually displays the mummified body of John Wilkes Booth at the 1904 World's Fair
As the body of John Wilkes Booth?
as the body of John Wilkes Booth. Now, the guy that owns the body dies. So the wife wants to get rid of it, so she sells it to a carnival.
Okay.
And for years, the body of John Wilkes Booth is paraded around to carnivals.
Okay.
In the 1930s, some forensic doctors looked at the body, and they found like 30 similar points to Booth in life.
What?
His broken leg, the leg that he broke, everything checked out perfectly on this mummified body. And the body is shown at carnivals. The last time it was seen was
Okay.
in the early 1970s here in Pennsylvania.
And then it just disappeared.
It's
God knows where it's
disappeared.
at.
God knows where it's at.
Yes.
But it could still be out there.
Yeah, it could be.
But we channeled all that information I channeled and then did the research and backed it up.
And did he ever disclose, like, the conspirators or supposedly that got hung, like Mary Surratt and everything? Did he know all along that that was what was going to happen to them, or it was just that's the way?
No, that was all when Lincoln was killed, Johnson became president, and he was one of the planners.
Okay.
So he was behind everything. So he had the conspirators killed within months. So he wanted to get rid of them, the
Okay.
living ones. And then some of them went to jail. Before he gets out, he pardons all the ones that were sent to jail. And that was part of the deal for them keeping their mouths shut.
You know what? And it's, I could never figure out why they went to the lengths of hanging Mary Surratt. I mean, or implicating her so heavily, especially because back then they didn't like
Yeah, but
to.
she knew what she was doing. She knew that they were going to kill the originally they thought they were going to kidnap Lincoln.
Okay.
And that they had that all set up, and then he didn't go, his trip was canceled, so they couldn't kidnap him. So then they went ahead with the plan to kill him. But Surratt knew what was going on. She was guilty.
Well, and it's not whether she was guilty or not, but the fact that they actually hung her instead of, because,
Well, he wanted to shut her up.
oh no, now that you're explaining
Yeah.
this, that makes sense,
Yeah.
where it's like no loose ends, last thing
Oh,
I need
no.
is to, even if she gets a life in prison sentence, and then somewhere along the line she starts and somebody actually pays attention to what she's saying. So yeah, that makes sense why they actually went and executed her instead of giving her life in prison or something along those lines. And because back then women, they didn't like to execute women.
No, she was the first woman was hung by the government.
Yes.
But that was why he wanted to shut him up right away, which he did.
Wow.
So that,
Wow.
but we channeled all that information, and then I could research and put the whole thing together, complete with photographs. And
And
we did that with 27 conspiracies in my book.
Barry, when you were, after you would do these channeling, you had all this information, you were doing your research, were you kind of like wigged out every time you're running across all these facts that correlate with the information you had gotten?
Oh, it's blowing me away. I mean, it was the deeper we got into this,
Okay.
the more spirits we talked to. I mean, and at this point, we were talking to some amazing spirits. We had Saint Augustine come through for us and
Really?
talk. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I'll give you a real wow about that. We did a Facebook Live session with Saint Augustine a month ago, and I
Okay.
have the video of the session up on my YouTube
And when and I have to
That's got
ask
you stuttering, doesn't
when they come through, I mean, And let's say something like St. Augustine, do you too, like, who is this? Or when they start identifying themselves, and do you ask yourself, is like, really? I mean, imagine after speaking to an alien, it's nothing can surprise you, but still, that's a very unusual spirit that should come across.
Well, he came through with us from the beginning.
Okay.
And I thought it was a connection with the psychic that I was working with. She was a very strong Catholic lady.
Okay.
And I thought he was coming through as part of that. But then once we stopped working with her, we realized that he wasn't coming through for her, he was coming through for us.
Okay.
Because he wanted to give us information.
Okay. And it's I'm going to ask because of the timing on it, since you said this took place but like a month ago, you said. Did it have anything to do with the scandal that's going on in the Catholic Church, or nothing whatsoever to do with that?
We discussed it.
Okay.
When we do these Facebook live sessions, I know who's coming through for me.
Okay.
So I made up like 50 questions for him.
Okay.
So we started off where he did a message, he gave his message, and then he actually answers around 50 questions for me.
Okay.
And we did discuss Catholic Church in that interview.
Okay. Because I was thinking, wow, I wonder if the timing on this is it coincidental, or is it because the Catholic Church is like being rocked by, it's like, I don't know, they're asking for the Pope to step down. It's like things are
Well,
happening.
I've had a prediction on my website for 3 years that he'd be a short-term pope.
Really?
Yeah, I posted 6 months before it happened that the last pope was going to retire.
And
And
it's really I was not too long ago I was listening, well, also seeing this the interviews that Art Bell had with Malachi Martin back in the late 90s prior to him dying. And in a lot of them he talks about what was a lot of corruption and the especially the problems that they're having with the molestation of children. And this was back in the late 90s. And he had left Rome in the 60s before coming to the United States. So he had, in other words, he had been witness or knew of this for many, many decades
Oh, yes.
before it even, and I remember thinking, wow, this has got to go. This is not just a couple of priests that are, that got in there. This sounds like it's very, very pervasive in the church.
Yeah, no, they told us that this pope was aware of what was going on.
Yeah, well, that's what it sounds. I cannot believe, okay, that something as serious as that he would not know. Not him, any pope would not know. Okay, I can. Yeah, I find that that's along the lines. When the before CEOs would say, "I had no idea that this was going on in my company." That explanation doesn't work anymore.
No. No, you got a pretty good idea what's going on
Yeah, well, exactly. Especially something along these lines that I think has been around for quite a long time.
Well, there
And
were whistleblowers who were trying to tell him about it. I mean, the previous popes as well. This was not just a new event.
oh, no, that's why I'm saying. I think
Yep.
that along the way, what was it? When was the first big scandal? Was what in the early late 90s or the early 2000s when they had the big giant, the first ones, and then it kind of died away. But if you listen to them, I think you had these isolated incidents, and that's when they would look and they would say, oh, well, what they did was they would move these priests to other parishes, but they never, sanctioned these priests criminally or anything. So, and I'm thinking to myself, and that was basically in the last 50 years. I can imagine way before then, you could not go up against the word of a priest and be believed. So I know it's been going on for quite a while, and
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
and I know I've heard of a lot of other conspiracies. And by the way, I'm Catholic, or I don't even call myself a cafeteria Catholic. I don't even call myself a Catholic because in truth, I don't practice the religion the way they should. And why call yourself something if that's if you don't practice it the way they want? But I've heard a lot of things besides the thing with the children that leads you to believe that there's a lot of corruption on a lot of levels in the church. And so here you are. At what point did you realize that you were one of the psychics that was drawing in the spirits that were being channeled?
That started about 4 or 5 years ago. I started to realize that, that we were doing it on our own.
Okay. And did you ever have an experience outside of when you sat down, let's say, to channel or to do a board? That, in other words, that you had a spirit try to communicate with you outside the a moment when you were the one that was setting it up?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, okay. I became aware of an awful lot of things. Just, you know, we do a lot of work with prior lives.
Okay.
And, I mean, I found out that I'd actually fought over Gettysburg.
Okay, which makes sense.
And I can take a ghost box out to Gettysburg, and I can talk to the spirits I fought with out there.
Okay.
And I've done this with groups. I've taken people out. I was a Confederate captain.
Okay.
That fought at this particular spot. And when I go into that spot, they recognize my soul out there.
Okay.
We've been chased out of Union areas because they recognize I was a Confederate.
Wow.
They threw a stone at my truck one time. And then I got a bunch of wild stories from the battlefield.
I mean, I've been to Gettysburg twice myself.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's a little bit more difficult when you got a lot of, depending on when you go, if you have a lot of people or a lot of field trips going through there. But sometimes, you know, you're able to go to some of these monuments when there's nobody around. And just a feeling about it. Sometimes the only thing I can relate it to is like, well, watchfulness. Yeah. You know, like,
oh no, they're all over out there. There's
yeah.
No, it's there's a ton going on. but last fall I took 4 people out with me.
Okay.
And I had a ghost box and I took them up to the spot where I fought. And I had to go turned on the box and I said, "You guys recognize me?" And over the ghost box, everybody heard, "Yes, sir, Captain."
What? Oh my God.
Uh huh. and then I commenced to talk to them, and the group heard all these answers and my conversation with the guys that I fought with coming in over the ghost box that they could hear.
And let me ask you, Barry, what is bind? Are they earthbound? Are they there voluntarily because, or is it that they don't understand what happened to them? Why? Do
oh
you
no,
think
they, there is. I mean, that's a complicated question.
Okay.
There is actually a channel of the unknowing dead.
Okay.
That don't know they died, and I wrote a whole chapter on that in my afterlife book.
Okay.
Because we actually channeled a Confederate captain that was still fighting in the exact spot he was 150 years ago.
Okay.
So that's a really interesting chapter. But these guys know exactly what's going on.
Okay.
We went out, Connie and I went out on Labor Day, or no, just, yeah, on Labor Day, she and I went out. And I went up to the spot. I always try to check in with them when I'm out there.
Okay.
And I said, I'm communicating in my mind with them now.
Okay.
So I asked them, I said, "Why are you guys still here?" And they said, "Well, we can't leave because there's still Yankees over there."
Okay. Yeah.
And then one of the guys says to me, he says, "Captain, you better keep your head down. They're still over there."
Right. Their reality is the war is still going on.
Yeah. So, and I said, "When are you guys going to move on?" And they said, "Well, we're probably going to soon do that because if we've been here long enough now." Bear in mind, there's no time on the other side,
right.
So it's not a big deal to them, you know.
Yeah. Well, and let's face it, you think about what you were going through as a human being in those moments. I mean, talk about high emotion, fear, excitement, adrenaline. That's, you know, there's so much emotion charged into the experience, either individually or as a group.
Yeah, the way I found out about this, my life has been organized to do this. You know, my path is now what I'm doing.
Okay.
And I'm finally after, you know, after 65, I'm 76, but for 65 years, they waited until I was about 65 to really put me on my path.
Okay.
But they had this thing all laid out. When we started channeling with the spirits here in the store,
okay,
we had a spirit here named Jeffrey Silverman that we talked to. First, we talked to him on the ghost box. And once we started to channel, he came in on the board and he told me about my prior life and that I'd been a Confederate.
Okay.
But when I was writing the book, before I knew all this stuff was going on over there, when I was photographing at night for the book, one night I'm out on the battlefield and I'm down at the spot where I fought at, but I hadn't realized it yet.
Okay.
But I always knew I could get great pictures there, like they posed for me.
Okay.
So this, I'm out there at night by myself with my cameras, and I start walking down this wooden path behind the stone wall. And in my head, I hear, don't go. And I stopped. I went back about 50 feet, and a big tree fell right on the path where I would have been.
Oh, my God, Perry.
So they actually saved my life out there because I was totally by them. There was nobody around. It was late at night. 10
right.
O'clock.
In other words, if you would have been hurt, you would have been laying there
yeah,
under
I'd
that tree.
When I lecture on guardian angels, I use the picture of that tree. I went out the next day and took photographs of it.
Okay.
So anyway, I've always been interested in the guardian angel concept.
Okay.
So we got Jeffrey on the channeling board, and I'm thinking, I wonder if he was the one that saved me out there. So this was like a month after it happened. So I said, Jeffrey, when I was out there, was it you that saved my life? And the answer on the channeling board comes back, no, it was the fellows.
Wow.
It was the souls of the spirits that I fought with that were still there that warned me, that saw that coming.
Wow. So they were still looking out for you.
Oh, yeah. And I'm trying to sell the stores here in Pennsylvania so I can go home back home full time. And okay. They're very, very upset with me. When I was out with the ghost box, one of them called me a quitter over the ghost box because I wanted to go home.
And he's like, no.
Yeah, no, they said, don't go. And one yelled quitter over the ghost box because they think I'm deserting them out there.
Let me ask you, have they ever come to you in dream time?
No, they can come to me in conscious time. So, no, I explained to them, I said, you're welcome to come home with us and visit. And I said, my time here is not going to be that long in this life. I said, I'll be over there with you guys in a little bit. Don't get excited. So.
And so it sounds like you went from a hardcore skeptic to a very, and by this I don't mean you weren't spiritual before, but it looks like your spiritual beliefs.
Oh, no, I'm beyond spiritual now.
Okay.
We have now channeled with many of the holiest of the saints.
Okay.
And my book, I have a book at the publisher.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, in my book that just came out, Spirits Speak of the Universe, mm-hmm. there's a chapter on the universality of God.
Okay.
Because all of the planets in our galaxy worship the same God we do.
All right.
So they gave me all the a chapter on that, and I have a chapter on universal reincarnation in that book.
The thing with the aliens, because you know that lately, well, we've always, for years, this thing with the UFOs and everything, but it seems like it's picking up a little bit more traction since last year when they finally kind of admitted that they were actually investigating, trying to identify these UFOs.
Well, Moo told us we would have disclosure before 2020.
Really? Whoa.
Yeah. I write about it in this, in my universe book. We actually have a chapter on what's happening down in Antarctica. And there's events down there taking place that are going to lead to disclosure. They won't
okay.
be able to keep it secret.
Right. That's why, that there was some people like that all of a sudden all this traffic, whereas before, the only ones that go into Antarctica would be scientists, and now all of a sudden a bunch of people have gone to Antarctica, which you would think, what are they doing there?
Well, they're trying to calm things down because we have a treaty with the aliens. They're all very friendly. They mean us absolutely no harm.
I take it, it sounds like when you say them, is it there's more than one type of them?
I ask in my new book, I have a chapter on alien vehicles.
Okay.
and they have hundreds of types of vehicles that they use. And in the book, I actually have photographs of an alien drone that followed me one night on the battlefield. I have 40 frames of a real, honest to God, alien drone following me out there on three different cameras. So it was very real and lasted. It followed me probably for 15 minutes.
And was there something significant that happened that night as to why it happened?
I asked Moo why they did it, and he's a smart ass, and he said they were ghost hunting.
It's like, yeah, they were along for the ride.
But anyway, he told me about all these different vehicles. He said they have vehicles from one the size of a baseball to a vehicle the size of the United States.
Wow.
And I asked him, I said, how many different types are on that huge vehicle? And he said, in excess of over 250 alien types.
Okay.
And I have seen a real one.
And what is their interest with us?
They're trying to help us advance.
They are.
They're
Okay.
trying to help us evolve. If they meant us harm,
Oh, no.
we would be so dead.
Yeah.
Advanced technology, they could snap their fingers and we'd be gone. No,
And
they.
the reason why I
They.
ask is that I've heard of theories where there's more than one, and some are friendly and some are not, and sometimes they have their own, like, and some of them are kind of a little bit indifferent about us. They're observing, but they're like, eh. So that's.
Well, we're a very young culture.
Yes, that I believe.
Mu told us that we have had alien visitation since the time of the dinosaurs, 65 million years ago.
Okay.
And there have been apparently three different seedings trying to get life on Earth.
Okay.
And the human form that we're in now is actually the third seeding.
Okay.
And God actually works with the aliens in many cases do some of his work.
Okay.
I mean, that's a very difficult concept also, but no, I woke up, my wife has been abducted.
Okay.
And we both have a long history with alien interventions, which I never realized until they gave us the information on
Okay. Okay.
it.
This was an in other words, this was prior to all these experiences that you had with the spirit communication.
Yeah, 20 years ago, we were
Okay.
living in Florida. And she
Okay.
drops me off at Lauderdale, and
Okay.
we were living in Palm Beach Gardens at the time.
Okay.
So she's on 95 coming back, and it's like you snap your finger, and she's three exits and 20 miles north of where she last thing she remembers on 95.
Wow.
And she went to the doctor. Doctor said you fell asleep. Well, you know what falling asleep on 95 does in Florida.
No,
No,
you
no.
forget it.
You don't make 20, you do not make 20 miles.
No, you don't. You don't.
So we couldn't figure out what really took place. And then once we channeling with Moo, he told us what happened. And he said, that she was abducted. And what they did was they put a shapeshifter in the car to drive the car while she was up in the ship.
Okay.
And she actually has a mark on her forehead that she didn't have before this took place.
Wow.
So he filled in all the details what took place in that event.
And when you say seeding, do they just do the act of seeding, or are they using any of their genomes or DNA as part of the seeding?
Well, one of them, they tried to create life on Earth when we had all the water. The planet was basically covered with water at the time. So that's why you have the animals in the sea that are mammals, the dolphins.
Right.
That was all an attempt at a seeding, but they realized that they weren't going to be able to advance and come out of the water. So
Okay.
God sets up another go at it 250, 300,000 years ago, and he sets up another species to evolve, and that's the human form that we see today.
Okay. As in, when you say seeding, and it is because that there. Is it because of evolution through primates, or was it primates and then man was seeded as man?
Primates, man was seated as man.
Okay, you're right. You understand what I'm at. Okay. Because they're always
Absolutely.
looking for
Now,
that
these are
missing
all
link or
questions that I've
whatever.
asked. I've
Right.
written about all this in one of my various books.
Okay. And are they happy with their progress? Or
Not overly.
sometimes.
But I did ask him. He said there are other young cultures in the galaxy that are actually more violent than we are.
Wow.
But what Moose said was that through war, people learn compromise.
Yeah, that I agree with.
And without the violence, you don't learn you're not forced to learn to compromise. And in all of the other civilized planets, they get along. They have a treaty. They don't fight. They realize with the great abilities, I mean, they could annihilate themselves. And the concept of self-annihilation led to peace. And hopefully that's what will happen with humans.
Yeah.
And you know, Jesus, he's very clear by saying God will not end the human race. It will be up to humans and their free will to do it.
I think so.
And he will also not stop them.
Yeah, and which is the exact concept of free will, which is free will
That's
to
right.
choose and the consequences that come with either one action or the other.
Yeah, free will and ego are the two things that really that will destroy humans if they are destroyed.
Right. And you know what? Sometimes, and I know because, you know, I think that sometimes we kind of lose perspective that, yes, we've developed technology like bombs, et cetera, that can wipe out hundreds, thousands of people. But if you look at the history of human beings, we really do value life more now, even though it doesn't seem like it, because once upon a time, human life wasn't really valued that much, you know.
No, one night we asked, we said, why did you allow the Holocaust? And the answer was because we wanted you to see ultimate evil so that it never happens again.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You see, you got to understand, a human lifetime is like a blink in the eye of your soul history.
Exactly.
We've lived so many lifetimes out there. And some have advanced, some screw it up. You know, there's seven realms, and they send the people. You mess it up enough, you go back to the bottom, and you got to start over.
Right. It's like it's you know that concept of which is I agree with, which is that reincarnation is like a school. You know, you figure it out, and sometimes you get the lesson, and sometimes you don't. And you know, you're better in some areas than in others. And No, I'm very familiar because since I'm a trained hypnotherapist, I've done a lot of past life regressions. And,
well, in line with that, they tell us that we all carry our books of life in unused portions of our brain.
Yes.
And through hypnotherapy is how you access the prior life information.
Yes. And I've had experiences where, you know, I've had people come to me for regressions and they're positive that this location or this time period or whatever, they've romanticized it. And I know that I lived. And I said, okay, well, you know, but let's ask for what would be the most appropriate thing for you to see now. And I say more than 80% of them, no, as a matter of fact, really more than 90% of them. If they allow themselves, but sometimes you get people that are a little bit over analytical, but they go and they experience things and lifetimes that they never ever would have dreamt or thought that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience is so real that they come out and they're like dumbfounded. They're like, I never, you know, besides that they could be either sex, you know, just locations, placements, lives, experiences that they're like, I've never even, you know, like, I can't even say, oh, I always wanted to. And of course, like I tell them, very few people were ever famous. Most people were very ordinary.
Oh, yeah.
For lack of a better word, unknowns, you know.
They live normal lives. Normal lives.
Normal lives, exactly. Mm.
Everybody wants to be famous in their prior lives.
Right. But some of them are very surprised. When, you know, they, depending whatever the life is and, you know, whatever is most appropriate for them, some of them get right away why they saw that. Some of them, they would contact me later on and I think I understand why. And one of the things that a lot of my clients said was, you know what, at that moment, I didn't get it. I was like, what? And then something would happen concurrently or right after they had that session where what that life that they saw had tied in specifically to some type of circumstance that came about in their lives shortly thereafter. In other words, you can't say, okay, you plucked it from your subconscious mind, because these were things that happened that they would, I think I understand now why I saw what I saw when I did. And yeah. So we do a
lot of prior life work. We had a Connie and I do a radio show once a month where we take call-ins for 2.5 hours.
Okay.
We had a guy call in from Arizona, and he said, "I'd like to know my prior life." We told him, we said, "You were born in 1943, died in the Pacific in the war in the Navy." The guy goes, "Oh my God, that's why I'm afraid of water." And then we gave him his name. Guy calls in the next month. He says, "I just want you to know that I researched that name, and that name died in 1943 in the Pacific, and I even know where the body is buried in Arlington." So this guy has the ability to go to Arlington and see where his prior life body is buried.
Man, he must have really talk about it. Like, yeah, and see, that's good, because sometimes people experiences lifetimes that there's, these are people that there's no way to ever validate. They this was things before either the registration, you know, not because we're so used to everything being documented in present day, but that was maybe if you were lucky in the last 70, 80, 100 years, but prior to that, records of everything were very sketchy. And even if things were kept, you know, if a church burned down or, you know, a building, city hall burned down, there go your records. So a lot of lives, but like you said, something having to do with the military. Absolutely.
Yeah, but we nailed it. We gave him the name and everything.
He must have been. Did he understand why? And I take it that when he said that, because is that how he died? When he, what, his boat was sunk, or he was in a, what happened to him?
Yeah, he drowned in the Pacific.
He drowned.
And that was why he feared water.
Wow. Wow. Hmm. Let me tell you. Yeah, you hear about some of these. And the reason why, you know, that you also bring that up is that sometimes I doubt myself when people have fears and phobias, and I explain to them fears, you understand why you fear something. But the phobia is when you have that fear and you have no prior experience to base it in as to why I have this really like uncontrollable fear of these circumstances, or in this case what you were describing, that he was afraid of maybe going out in a boat or water or anything like that.
No, I was born in Hershey, which is, you know, like an hour's drive from Gettysburg, okay, Pennsylvania. All my life I was drawn to the Gettysburg battlefield.
Okay.
As a kid, I wanted my parents to take me out there all the time. When Connie and I started to date, on one of our first dates, I took her to the battlefield for a date. But I've always been drawn there. And then I find out that I fought there, and that's why.
Yeah. Yeah, there was something there. And again, like you said, it wasn't only you, it was that you said you were a captain, so it was an experience that you shared with soldiers that were under you. That must have been, it's a soul understanding that you might not recognize within your conscious mind, but with your subconscious, you did. Spiritually, you did.
Mm-hmm. It's a wild journey.
Oh, yeah. Let me ask, do you think, Barry, that in, and I'm going to use Gettysburg because so many people sometimes go out there to Gettysburg for spirit communication because it's so famous. Do you think the fact that people do that, drawing other spirits that are not necessarily Gettysburg, you know, the soldiers that were killed there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, there's more than the soldiers there. Okay. There's Indians out there, Native Americans.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've actually photographed six angels on the battlefield.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have a picture of an angel lifting the body of a soldier off the battlefield. And I think that's really how their help moved on. I think the angels assist them.
Okay. Yeah, they maybe at some point there comes a time where...
Yeah, they
help them
God,
along.
God intervenes to help them move on without... But I think he sends his angels down to bring them in.
Do you think a lot of the... You know, I've heard of people saying either they hear... like what sounds like the war sounds, you know, like in other words, Almost like the
Oh,
full
yeah.
war. Do you think that's residual or are they actually still going
That's
through the motions?
No, they're still doing it.
They're still doing it.
Yeah,
Wow.
I can take go I'm taking the ghost box out and heard the battle commands and the sounds going on over the ghost box.
Wow. But sometimes I always wonder, I said, you know what? I wonder if there's any intelligence or if this is just an imprint into the fabric of that place because it was so heavily laden, charged with
No,
emotion.
total. They are totally intelligent. They have the same mentalities they had when they walked.
Oh God. And yeah, no, like I said, I've been there twice, and both times it was like I said, especially when nobody was around, that and you just like qu are quiet. You know, you feel it. You feel yourself being watched, but not in a bad way. But and by this, I don't mean letting your imagination run away with you, but you feel it. It's like a watchfulness.
Oh yeah, no, it's a crazy place.
Yeah, and it has its highs and its lows. There's days that you go out there and it's kind of very like very nothing's happening, and then there's days, and I don't know if it has something to do with either anniversaries or atmospheric conditions or
Has
what.
a lot to do with energy in the air.
Okay.
The best photography that I ever did was after
Under
thunderstorms.
a thunderstorm, yes, I've heard of
Yeah.
that's
Yeah,
conducive
there's
a lot of
huge
times.
energy there. I mean, they're some of the best pictures I've ever taken were right after thunderstorms.
Let me ask you, Barry, have you ever run across any negative entities that you're like, I don't want to have anything to do with you?
I've had them in my dreams, but
Okay.
I'm very, very well protected. I mean,
Okay.
we have a special prayer we use. We had the spirit guides when we give us a prayer of protection to use when we do board channeling.
Okay.
And we always use that prayer before we start. And it's just we're very, very well protected. We've
Right.
had attempts, but they've just cut it off.
Well, it sounds like you also have a lot of guardians on the other side who watch, who, you know, the traffic as far as
We're very well
spirits.
protected.
Perfect. Okay, Barry, thank you so much for spending this time with me. It has been wonderful. And for my podcast listeners, what is your website address if people wanted to find out more about what you do?
We've got a couple websites. One of
Okay.
them is spiritspredict.com,
Okay.
and our new website is called wordsofgodthenandnow.com.
Okay.
And we're
And
doing that website has got a lot. We have been channeling with the saints.
okay.
We actually have a video up on YouTube where we channel with the Blessed Mother.
Really?
Really?
Yes, it's
Wow.
wonderful, wonderful. Her energy when she comes in, the tears just come down your eyes. It's just
Okay.
unbelievable when she comes through for us. But we have I have a YouTube channel under my name, Barry Strome, and
Okay.
you can actually go in and watch our channeling videos on there.
Okay. So in other words, you
Okay.
do like a do you do it live or do
Yeah,
you
we do it on Facebook Live.
Okay, you do it on
So,
Facebook Live.
yeah,
Okay.
I have a Words of God Then and Now group, and I got about 2,500 members,
Okay.
and we do a Facebook Live session, and then I download it and put it up on YouTube.
Oh, I see what you're
But
doing. Okay.
we give all the group members the opportunity to watch this event take place as we're doing it. So
Okay.
there's no question that,
Right.
make up your own decision because we're hiding nothing. We're doing it live. And on Wednesday night, we're going to do a channeling session live with Jesus on the Facebook.
Wow.
We have three sessions with him up on YouTube now. But he's requested to come back. He has a message for everybody.
Okay.
And I have about 50 more questions for him.
Let me ask Barry because it sounds like, you know, he like you said, you've spoken with human spirits, extraterrestrials, saints, divine spirits, angelic beings. Is there something, and the reason why I'm asking this is that everybody thinks that the moment that they're living in is the moment, you know, and then that moment comes and goes. Is there something pivotal that's going to happen for us humans in the next few
No,
years?
no.
No. Okay. That's fine with me.
It's going to be evolution. It's going to take
Okay.
place. No,
Okay.
there's. He has told us that there's going to be a time of grief for our country coming up very shortly,
Okay.
and he will not tell me what it is because it'll affect. They will never tell us anything. It will affect the karma,
Okay.
people's karma. They'll never change that, or the karma of our country. Our country has a karma as well.
Right.
So it's no, I have a my sixth book is currently at the publishers,
Okay.
and the title of that is Spirit Speak, Channeling the Life of Jesus.
Okay.
He has told us what has took place in the missing 28 years of his life.
Between childhood and when he started
And we
preaching and
beginning his ministry, yes.
yeah, okay. Yeah, because that's always been a big mystery. That's always, like you said, there's always been that gap.
Not to me anymore.
Not to you, as far as, you know, childhood and you know, being a young rabbi and,
Not
you know.
really.
Okay.
He wasn't
So,
raised Jewish.
okay, so yeah, there's,
He always
and
worshiped, he always spoke of the one God. And that's,
exactly.
yes.
And the thing is that sometimes you hear of a lot of different parts of the Bible or different gospels that were omitted or you're not
There was
used. It
at when Constantine in 325 selected, there were over 300 gospels presented, of
Right.
which 27 were selected. And we actually channeled with Pope Sylvester the First, who was the head of the Catholic Church at the during the Nicaea Conference. And
Okay.
he gave us all the background in the gospels that were selected, what Constantine looked for.
Right, well, because from what I understand, and that a lot of reference to reincarnation was one of the things that they kind of like said, well, no, we're not putting that in there.
Oh, absolutely. And the one of the main gospels that was omitted was the secret teachings of Jesus because he spoke of reincarnation
Okay,
and
right. Yeah.
it wasn't accepted.
Right, they wanted that. This is your one shot, and you better pay attention to us, or that's it. You're going to go to hell. So that, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, that.
the church needed that, so for the fear they had to promote
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
control over their members.
Sure. And then that's
Jesus taught pure love.
exactly, no fear.
No. And if when you the Bible is one of the toughest books to understand with all the parables and everything in it. Jesus taught to the uneducated and the poor. If he
Exactly.
spoke in those parables, nobody would have understood him.
Exactly.
They would have thrown
Exactly.
stones at him and he would have been forgotten.
Yeah, what
He spoke
right.
very simply to the people.
Right, yeah. I mean, the like whether you were a rabbi or somebody that was very knowledgeable about, well, back then, let's say the Jews, the Torah and everything, but like you said, there was the majority of people were very simple people. And even now, I mean, we know, look at movies. That's the best way to speak to people is through stories.
That's right.
Yeah.
But he spoke very simply, and he had more than just the 12 disciples. He had the largest his group was he had 45 followers at one point.
Okay.
So
Okay, which makes sense.
his life story is absolutely amazing and so believable. It's just a
Right.
wonderful story.
The reality of it, instead of that sometimes that there's too much emphasis on the trying to make him divine, as in not
Oh
regular
yeah.
human.
He
And
basically lived a human life for
yeah,
28 years. That was
exactly.
what he was back for. He was God incarnate.
Right.
And they wanted to experience the suffering of man. And
Exactly. And
most
that's
of what we know,
understandable.
yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful, understandable story that he tells.
That is okay. And when is that book due to come out, Barry?
In the spring.
In
We're
spring of
looking
next
forward
year of
to the spring.
2019?
I'm just kind of, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
We're looking forward to sometime in the spring. It's at the publishers. We've
okay.
been through it's the book's been designed and everything, so it's pretty well through the process.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put links to your websites on the credits of the show. And of course, I'm sure everybody can either, follow you on Facebook or go to your website. And as far as the books and,
The
what you're doing, the monthly.
books are on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. They're all over. So
All over the place. Perfect.
And you can buy them off my websites if you want an
Right.
autographed copy.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Your website is like the jumping off point, for anything that they want to find out about your work. So again, Barry, thank you so very much. It has been absolutely fascinating to speak to you.
Was a lot of
Thank you
fun.
so absolutely. And I hope I'll be recontacting you when that book comes out, because it sounds like that, let's face it, I mean, it sounds like you have very interesting books, but that one that's going to be coming out in the spring, that is definitely, I would love to talk to you about that.
Yes, it will get some attention when it comes out.
Okay, Barry, have a very good evening and thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. guys. Hold on. Let's see. So how's everybody doing today? What do you think? I thought it was a wonderful interview. I loved speaking to Barry because he just, how can I say it? It resonates, you know, when somebody goes from being what you call the hardcore skeptic, the person that, like he said, dealt only in facts, provable stuff, in other words. The science, and there's nothing against science, but I understand where he was talking about. It was like, if you can't quantify, reproduce it, measure it, touch it, whatever. And he was very honest. He, not only did he disbelieve, he made fun of the believers. You know, he thought they were kooks, you know. He was, in other words, he was totally on the other side of that, if you want to call it that, scale. And this is for those people that think, oh, you know, once you get a certain age, you don't change diametrically, by the way, change the way you think or what you believe. By the way, I'm not talking about believe as in, oh, I just figured something out. This is, if you listen to him, he had a soul change as far as his belief systems and spirituality, in what, not only spirituality, but what is the spirit world. All right, it wasn't like, oh yeah, now I believe in ghosts. No, it was like, I'm communicating with ghosts, I understand the concept of reincarnation, I have experienced that, you know, this human soul, and we'll say just soul because it does, you know, transcends us being as humans. In other words, it could incarnate in a human being, it could incarnate in an extraterrestrial body in another planet, another galaxy, whatever. And I know a lot of people sometimes think, God, sometimes we have a hard time just managing this lifetime and in this reality, because even now, you know, with in present day, with so many advances in technology, which I've said it before, personally think stresses us out, helps in a lot of ways, but it's added on a very thick and detrimental layer of stress for us as human beings, and in some cases has disconnected us from other humans, which not a good thing. So, and then I'm saying, and then a lot of people say, oh, and then on top of it, you're now you're going to say, you know what, I could have, not only did I reincarnate, I might have even been at some point inhabited an alien body, and God knows what I did or didn't do. And I don't know. I know that a lot of people, the concept of heaven, or in other words, one lifetime, is kind of comforting in the sense of, hey, you know what? I want to live this lifetime and that's it. And, you know, you strive for being the best you can. And as far as Christians are concerned, even if you haven't been the best person, if at the end you repent, you're still going to end up in heaven. And that's it. And I don't know. I kind of like the idea that we have more than one go-around, because I think that we're not all perfect across the board. Sometimes you have people that overall are good, but in some areas we're not. You know, you will get people that are very protective. I'm going to give you an example. Could be ruthless with other people, but then they take care of their families. But they're ruthless. If in other words, if you ask their family members or their children, they think their parent is wonderful, walks on water, provided, took care of us. You ask somebody who dealt with that person outside of the family, and they say, that person, I'm going to use a man, was an SOB, or that person was a bitch, or, you know, that person was a ruthless guy, and, you know, and you say, well, you know, how does that be? Because human beings are like that sometimes. And I think that when you have another go round, it's like, okay, maybe I need to fix the part of try to gain understanding of the part that I missed about, you know, maybe things that I did or suffering that I inflicted by my action or lack thereof to other human beings. And let's face it, some people really like flub it hard, you know, which I always wonder what happens with people that are psychopaths that have no remorse, or people that are sociopaths. Let's say they're born into really horrible circumstances, they're grown up, they're made into horrible human beings that then become predators themselves and victimize human beings. And, you know, we always think, okay, this person's going to go to hell and that's where they're going to get their just desserts, especially if, like I say, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of bad human beings that never get justice. When I say justice, as in they're never arrested or they never go to jail or they never get their just desserts, you know, and everybody's comforted, well, they'll get theirs. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I wonder if the ultimate, and I don't want to think of it as punishment, is, even though it could equate to that, is if in another lifetime they are placed in circumstances or lifetimes where they are understand too well what it's like to be victimized. Not that I wish that on anybody, because I really don't. But, I mean, there's so many different scenarios that could play in a lifetime to make that person understand, you know. And I'm sure there's going to be people or souls that will understand compassion. And then there might be other souls that'll be, they don't get the compassion part. They just become more ruthless themselves. That's why I'm saying it's good to have more than one go around. Very interesting concept. Your mind goes, you know, like expands and stretches out and feels very uncomfortable trying to get your hands or your arms around this type of reality. Especially because so much of it is like, okay, you know, do I believe this? Is it because I want to comfort myself? Or people run the other direction, and some people say, well, that's blasphemy, you know, especially if you're hardcore in some type of religious beliefs, you know. I tend to be, I think I want to say more open-minded when it comes to spiritual beliefs and the immortality of our souls. And yes, that we're in this moment, in these souls, in these lifetimes, I think that's designed that way because we are meant to live the moment and survive and work it out. And if we had to remember all these prior lifetimes or future lifetimes or all this thing that some, a lot of people, they'd be distracted. They'd be like sitting in the room going, oh, what? So I think it's good that we kind of like have to live the moment and make decisions and, like he said, face the consequences of our free will. Yeah, definitely a lot of mysteries out there. So anyway, guys, I hope you like the show. I know I love to speak to Barry, and like I said, I'll put links to his websites on the credit of the show. Make sure to check it out. If you're one of my true believers, please make sure to send me your story. You can email it to me, whatever the case might be. And you remember I had my last show, I said, you know, I received certain questions from people that they just have a question, you know, and sometimes, like I said, I receive current questions that really, when it boils down to it, where they're asking the same thing. And a lot of people, we're going to, even though I did a lot of past life regressions, and I've gotten questions about that, but I'm going to do one question at a time. So one of the questions sometimes I ask is, as far as when you're a paranormal investigator, what is the true danger of spirits following you home? Or because a lot of people are sometimes attracted to this work, but they're kind of scared and they're like, is it real? Can, you know, can a spirit follow you home or can they attach to you? And it's like, well, yes and no. If you, okay, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. I'm not into provocation because sometimes you really don't know what you're provoking. And sometimes you will take something on that you are not meant to take on. Provocation, not a good idea under any circumstances. If you're going to go, whether you're in a paranormal group or you just with some friends that are going to the cemetery or some haunted spot. I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. You know, in the moment, everybody's thinking, oh, this is a good time. I'll tell you what, if you are having some type of problem with your health, okay, even if you're feeling really exhausted, and by this I don't mean tired, I mean, let's say you've been running yourself ragged and you're feeling really drained, and or you might be coming down with something, or because sometimes all these things kind of happen all together at the same time that you're by, or you're having a lot of emotional problems as far as maybe something's going on with your family. When I mean problems, I don't mean that, like, you know, maybe just, you know, when sometimes everything seems to be happening in our lives at once, job, stuff at home, not enough time, and you're like, oh my God, I'm exhausted. That's the wrong time to do that. I'm going to tell you why. Because sometimes there's just something about even our natural physical defenses that take care of us. And if you ever go to one of these places and you run across a spirit that has bad intentions and is hoping to latch onto somebody, they have a way of tuning into people that are weak physically. And, you know, it's you. You know, your physical and your spiritual or your auric, they're all together. And in other words, it's going to make it easier for that spirit to attach itself, to be attracted, to pick you or target you. And that's the last thing you want. So I tell everybody, if you're feeling like that, skip the cemetery visit. You know, wait till another time. Goes without saying, you have a problem with substance abuse, drug abuse, anything like that, not a good idea. You know why? Because I've had this experience practically with clients I've had, both as a paranormal investigator and, you know, the hypnosis, where like attracts like. And if you're battling any type of substance abuse or any type of addiction, you are going to draw in sometimes spirits that want to be next to you because they don't have a human body to experience the rush they used to get when they used to do whatever it was. And let me clarify by this. Yes, everybody, when you say addiction, everybody thinks of drugs. Yes, that's an addiction, but there's what they call process addictions. What's process addictions? Process addictions are shopping, gambling. These are addictions where you're not actually putting something in your body per se to give you a high, but you release certain hormones in your brain that give you that gratification by doing that. Gambling, shoplifting, there's a bunch of process addictions out there that sometimes don't get that much attention because you don't get arrested for them. You know, you could get arrested, let's say, if they catch you with drugs in your possession, or you start doing something crazy, or you OD. But there's a lot of other addictions out there that go under the radar that are just as destructive. So when I say addiction, this is what I mean. If you're battling something like this in your life, don't go into the paranormal, because what's going to happen is, I'm telling you, chances are very, very high. And by this I mean, I don't care if you pray and pray and pray. There's going to be a big giant bullseye on you to pull in spirits that shared some type of addictive personality when they were alive. Why? Because they see you as a weak vessel that they can attach to and somehow or other manipulate you. Maybe not all the time, but let's face it, if you're suffering under addiction, you're already there. And they're going to push you to at some point kind of drift in and do what, like a temporary possession, or they're so into your aura where they experience the gratification of whatever, that momentary gratification of whatever that addiction is, whatever it is, whether it's substance or whatever. And because they can't have it, they don't have a human body, they don't have senses. So what's the next best thing? They hitchhike on you. And that's also why a lot of people with addictions sometimes have a really hard time beating their addictions, because sometimes they have passengers going on with them that the last thing they want is for you to straighten your life out and drop it. So another thing, if you know, and hopefully you're honest about this, I'm not telling you have to tell anybody, but don't do paranormal work, don't go to cemetery visits, don't do any type of channeling or board work like he's talking about, because believe me, there's a lot of discarnates out there that, as a matter of fact, they're earthbound because they are still intent on wanting a human body, and they're either scared of going on to the other side and thinking that's going to be a dull place and no fun at all, and or I might get in trouble or judged because I was a crappy human being. And all they're looking for is the fix that they can get from latching on to a human being that was like them. So, but you know, again, the first thing I described is something that's temporary. You're feeling down, you're exhausted, emotional trauma, something's going on, let it go. When things even out in your life, then you can do it. Your prayers of protection, whatever you believe in, that's fine. If you've got something more serious as far as addiction and or mental illness, mood disorders, my recommendation is that you never dabble in the paranormal. Never, ever. Even if let's say you had a mental or mood disorder, you're on meds and things are good for you, or at one point you had some type of, let's say, alcohol abuse, for example, and you've been sober, perfect. Leave it alone. Even if you've got everything under, do not mess with the paranormal. Okay? Do not. If you've gotten to that point where things are going along in your life and you've conquered and managed and you're going right along, don't dabble with the paranormal. I don't, you know, your thing is, if you want to look at the paranormal shows and see some other people running around and doing it, and that's it. Because it's not worth the headaches that could come with you being at a certain place and undoing maybe all the progress that you've made in your life. Okay, so, and again, you know, I want to, and this is the last example that I'll give. If you are a person who has ever had their boundaries violated, okay, by this I mean as a child, any sexual, physical, mental abuse, any type of, and by this, it could have been a one-time thing, or it could have been something systematic, something that happened to you more than once over a period of time, okay? Sometimes it's not something that's done to you, but something that you witness. That can be just as traumatic, all right? And this is the big and you never do the work to put your boundaries back out, okay? In other words, you were victimized some way or another, and you are still on that loop of trying to play it out and come out with a good ending, which means you're still playing the victim, and you're always looking for a victimizer or a predator. Don't absolutely dabble in the paranormal, anything whatsoever having to do with it at all. At all. And even if you do have something that happened to you, whether as a child or as an adult, as a teenager, again, once or more than once, and you go to a therapist, and it's really weird because some people go through the motions of going to seek out therapy. And they say they're all better, but they're not really. But let's say you're one of these people that did. You did the work. You understood what happened or whatever. Your boundaries are okay. And by this, what I mean by boundaries is that you don't let people, you're not looking to redo or replay that incident with somebody that's like that person. Doesn't have to look necessarily like them physically or even be the same sex as that person or that gender that, but you're trying to reenact those scenarios. You've done the work. You understood it. And by this, I don't mean you turn back. Things can't be undone. But you understood that happened to me. But I understand what I need to do for the rest of my life so that I'm no longer a victim. So that means your boundaries are back out. And even then, I would be very careful going into the paranormal. The funny thing about that is that a lot of people who have had that type of trauma, especially younger in life, for some reason are very highly sensitive or psychic. I don't know if it's because they develop is a hypervigilance, because, you know, a lot of times there's no safety and security with your family of origin. In other words, let's say you're a kid. You know, your parents or your family of origin, they're supposed to keep you safe and secure. And if something's happening to you there, okay, whether the physical trauma, whether there was a lot of dysfunction, you as a kid, you develop this hypervigilance because this is how you're surviving. You're a kid. Remember, you can't up and leave. You're dependent on whoever you're living with, whoever the adults are that's supposed to be taking care of you, but I might not be taking good care of you to survive, because what are you going to do? You're a kid. So you develop this hypervigilance to keep yourself safe, maybe your siblings safe, to stay sane, depending on what was going on there. Okay, I've noticed that these people, as they go on later in life, sometimes develop, or I don't want to say maybe, develop sensitivity, psychic abilities, a lot of, so it's kind of a weird thing where you're able maybe to communicate easily with the spirit world and they with you. But at the same time, I would tell you would have to be really, really careful if you want to dabble or go into that work. Okay. Even if you've done the work and you came to terms and you kind of fixed what happened to you and you're ready to move on, I would still be very careful. I would still be very careful because I don't know what it is about certain dark spirits that they are very cognizant of vulnerabilities that human beings have. And it's almost like, you know, when something breaks, and even though you fix it or you tape it or you nail it, there's always that weak point where at that point that it broke. Well, it's almost the same thing with human beings. You know, you had that break and you fix it and you look at it, it looks fine. But there is a weakness there where that was mended. And these dark spirits have a way of knowing where that weak point is. And that's why I'm saying, and everybody's different, but again, I would say those are the three examples uppermost that your best bet is if you're really fascinated by the paranormal, you watch shows, you look at books, and maybe on some ghost tours, like a walking ghost tour, which are very removed. Okay, there's no channeling. There's no attempt to spirit communication. And that would be it. And you would think, how boring, and you really want to do it. I'm telling you, if you understood what the risks are that you specifically could run and the headaches that could come with it, you'd say, forget it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Believe me, we've got enough going on in our regular lives with regular old living human beings that you want to bring on some dead people to torment you and drive you crazy, or in some cases, even worse and darker things. So anyway, that's my answer to that question about, you know, can ghosts follow you home? Yeah, they can follow you home and attach to you, and especially if you're vulnerable. So anyway, guys, I hope you like the show. Subscribe to the channel if you're watching me on YouTube, or if you find me on any of the podcast platforms like Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, you name it, I'm there, so you get notified whenever I release a show. And again, I want to thank you so very, very much for being part of my audience and for coming back every week and enjoying all this time that we spend with all these wonderful guests, which, by the way, I have a lot of them coming up. So take care.